Matt, what
Hi.
is up?
I didn't really do much of anything this week. I was trying to think back on it, and I don't actually know what I did every day that I got home.
Okay, Ash.
But all right, welcome to Rated NA, the podcast for the website nerdappropriate.com. This is episode number 221, and I'm your host, Matt.
And I'm Scott.
I'm Ash.
We're all here hanging out together.
It's a Saturday morning in the beautiful east coast of United States of America.
Not beautiful where I am. It's like negative 4 degrees right now.
Is it really?
Yes. I wasn't kidding. I'm probably not going outside today.
Oh, man. I thought you were full of shit.
No, it is. It is very cold.
Well, it is nice down here though.
Yeah.
Cool, guys.
It's pretty nice. We actually had a pretty nice week. It was like jacket in the morning, no pants in the night. You know
yeah,
what I
for
mean?
Real.
Yeah.
I don't know what you mean. What does that mean?
It means that when you get home, you slowly take the pants off, throw them down on the ground, and then you just stretch. You say, feeling yeah. good.
I mean, after this week, right? Like, I had to pick up a shift at Wendy's, you know? And I was, when I was working there, a guy came through and ordered, like, a soda. And I gave him the soda, and then he threw an alligator through the window at me.
Yeah, Florida.
I'm really glad you brought that up, because I wanted to talk about that with you guys very quickly.
Okay.
I saw that article. It was in the national news, and I was, like, praying. I'm like, oh, God, please don't let it be Florida. Please don't let it be Florida. I get to the end of the article, and it's, like, fucking, like, right down the street from us.
Oh, yeah, it's Orlando, wasn't it?
I don't know. It's
like Florida somewhere. Man throws alligator through Wendy's drive-thru window.
Yeah, and I'm like, damn it, why would you throw an alligator? And then they had an interview with the guy's mom, and they're like, is your son crazy? And she's like, no, he's just a prankster. He's just a prankster. I'm like,
just a prankster.
Coming from somebody who left Florida, let me assure you that whenever you're reading those stories, it is Florida. Like, there's no, if it's hit national news, like if you're reading it on, you know, the Daily Buzz or whatever, it is Florida that you're, that is the end of that sentence is always going to be Florida man does something absolutely batshit crazy.
Womp womp.
Yeah. Well, what can you do?
Nothing. It makes it hard for us expats to like live in other states, you know, like it's not easy, man.
Just lie about where you're from. Like, I'm from Alaska. No one says shit about Alaska. Everyone loves Alaska. They're like,
really?
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Sarah Palin's from Alaska, though.
Oh, that's
yeah.
Ruined that whole.
Smash cut to Robert Freemering. Tell us about all the things that happened in Alaska.
He did message us and say that there is a Lids and an Orange Julius in his yeah. Alaska.
There you go. We're next clairvoyant. What can I
yeah.
say?
Yeah. Good times. So who brought us the show today?
Is that where we're at? Sure. Sorry.
You can read, right?
I don't remember what the order is. Sometimes sometimes you just switch it up and you put things wherever you feel like putting them.
That's because that's mostly my fault.
Yeah, that's what I just said. I said sometimes you switch it up and put things. I clearly blamed you.
Not
Scott.
Not on purpose. I don't. That's not my intention to throw you off.
I didn't blame anybody else in the room.
Okay.
It's not my dog's fault that this stuff moves around on me.
Yep.
This episode is brought to you by Loot Crate. This February, pack your crossbow and load up on chimichangas because the theme is dead. From Walking Dead to Deadpool, you're going to get a t-shirt and two figures. Loot Crate's promising a new t-shirt every crate, so go pick that up as well as collectible pins. Head on over to lootcrate.com/ratedNA and use the code ratedNA to get a discount on your order, and then you help out the podcast. I don't know if I say that every time, but we get a little kickback. A little kick.
A little tickle.
And
yeah.
Millions roll in. And head on over to Loot Crate. Just honestly, we partly went after this as a partner just because we actually really like Loot Crate. So you should just go to Loot Crate because you can get cool stuff all the time.
Yeah, they're good. Like, they're super down to earth, nice to deal with. And they're a lot like us. They're very DIY. They just have a great attitude about the stuff that they're providing. So, you know.
Yeah, so it's a good service. So go to lootcrate.com/ratedNA, give them a digital hug with your money dollars, and maybe even get the pet Loot Crate, the Loot Pet, or the gaming crate. They got a bunch of stuff, and then they do exclusive crates every month, and they're all pretty awesome, so go check them out.
Mm-hmm.
Let's do the rundown.
Now you read, Scott.
Oh, jerk. That's right. Is that where we go? Da-da-da-da!
Yeah.
Yeah, just like that. We haven't really done a rundown in a long time because either I've not been here or we've had a guest or we've just been making it up as we go.
It's true. Mm-hmm.
So
it's cool that you yell at me about
it. You guys want to prank call Kate?
No.
We should. She's on. We should just prank call her.
Why would we do that?
It'd be hilarious.
Do you think? I don't think she would see the humor in this.
Also, would it really be a prank call when it's Skype and you see who's calling you?
Yeah.
Like, you can't really prank it. Actually, you can't prank at all anymore, can you?
No, it's really hard.
Yeah.
It's like impossible now.
Yeah.
Man, it's a thing of the past.
Stupid iPhones. They ruin prank calls.
Now you just have to settle for sexting.
No.
In Snapchat.
Let's not do that.
So,
Scott,
welcome.
Are you sexting random people?
I am not.
He has a burn phone just for dick pics.
Oh, boy.
What were we doing? Oh, yeah. Okay. So, welcome new listeners.
Hello.
Hope you're still here. And so what we normally do is we talk about what we've been up to. We get into some news. And then we do some reviews, and then we're trying to get back into doing our Nerquato, which is our nerd-appropriate question of the week. And this week our question was, are you done with superhero films, or do you feel like Hollywood is just getting started? Any that you want to still see made? And we have a number of responses, and we appreciate those responses, and we couldn't do this without you.
Thanks for responding.
Yeah, your
well,
love.
We could, but we would come off as slightly more crazy, right? It would just be three guys.
I think so.
For no reason.
I know I sound like I'm being sarcastic, but the community really does fuel our effort and passion for doing this. So that's awesome that you guys are interacting with us, which is cool. So, Matt, what is up?
I didn't really do much of anything this week. I was trying to think back on it, and I don't actually know what I did every day that I got home.
Okay, Ash.
But man, you're really feeling it today, aren't you, Scott? Did you get a lot of coffee in you or something?
I had a pretty solid cup of coffee this morning. So I'm ready to go.
I was gonna make a joke, poop joke. but last night I watched a couple of movies.
Nice.
I watched The Martian and Straight Outta Compton.
Ooh, like good movies. You watched like real movies.
I watched like legitimately good movies. Yeah. The Martian is very good. I really enjoyed it.
Is the main character like as annoying on screen as he is in the book?
So I didn't read the book yet.
Okay.
The movie made me want to read the book because the movie was good.
Mm-hmm.
I would say no. Is the whole book just his perspective, or do you actually get the outside perspective?
No, you get some outside perspective too, but it takes a little while to get there.
Ah. Yeah. I mean, I don't find him annoying. I also don't really dislike Matt Damon, so I don't know if that's
sure.
Like if you dislike him as an actor, it's Matt Damon heavy. Let's be clear about that.
Yeah, I think some of the like the jokey snarkiness of the character also, because I listened to it on audiobook.
Mm-hmm.
So I think some of the snarkiness of the character was infused from the reader too.
Mm.
And so like while I cared for this individual, he was also, I don't know, I didn't care that much, I suppose.
I think the jokey snarkiness in the movie comes off more like we joke and snark with each other.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's less like just him being a shitty human and him like, I don't know if that's the way the book is, but in the movie it's much more like reciprocated. And the pilot of the space station that he is trying to get back to or whatever.
Yeah. Yep.
That guy like jokes back with him all the time. Like there's a lot of like kind of back and forth. And
oh, cool.
When he talks to NASA, there's like a lot of back and forth there, but it's like done well. Like it's written with like a smirk and a joke and everybody's laughing. I think because you can see the other party respond with like laughter, maybe
it
plays more like he's not just being an asshole, but everybody's like, oh, this is stressful and we're joking to relieve stress.
Yeah,
know?
It's like I totally get it. But at the same time when I'm listening to it, I'm just like, I'm supposed to like this guy, right? Like it's making it really hard.
Well, Matt Damon gives you some of that Matt Damon charm.
Ah, okay.
Works it in there.
A wink and a smile. Really
enjoyed it, yeah, I started it super late, which is part of the reason I wasn't up at 8 a.m. this morning. But I started it super late on accident and then just kind of like kept going and ended up watching the whole thing. So.
Oh, okay.
But it was really good. And then Straight Outta Compton is fucking awesome. Everybody should watch that movie. It's fantastic. I am shocked that it's not up for more Oscars than just script.
I think a lot of people are shocked.
Yeah, it's like It's very good. It's super well acted. Ice Cube's son, who plays Ice Cube, is like, he's phenomenal. And he looks awesome. Plays the part perfectly. The guy who plays Eazy-E is really good. Paul Giamatti's awesome in it. Like, honestly, the whole thing. The only thing that, like, my only critique of it is that it feels very much like Dr. Dre wrote or, like, advised the entire... He rarely comes off looking bad. He looks pretty amazing the entire time. And I don't know that that was really the truth. I know that there was some hubbub over... I don't know if he beat his wife or girlfriend or what the allegations or true story are. There's something along those lines, and they skip that entirely. Like, this, like, it doesn't even get touched on. And then there's just some other stuff that you're like, really? Is that what, you know, like, and I looked up some truth, and a lot of it is true, or, like, you know, a really close dramatization of the truth. But yeah, it's a little, some of that stuff's off. But Eazy-E, Ice Cube, like, it is a really, really good, engaging, like, biopic. Like, it just, it's done well. I really, really recommend it. It was really awesome.
Cool.
And then you guys have been talking to me a little bit about this, but I've been computer shopping.
Yes.
It's a dark, dark place.
It's, man, I've given in to the idea that I am no longer my teenage self that wants to build a computer.
Yeah.
I would like to start from something, because building, it just is not, I'm just not there anymore, you know?
Yeah.
I'm not
connected. Too many things can go wrong.
Yeah. And I'm just not connected enough. Like, I don't know I used to know, like, every, like, Scott, I remember you and I used to go to computer stores and just, like,
look at parts
and, like, go stuff with it. And now I'm like, I don't know, like, is there a difference between AMD and Intel anymore? Like, what is a graphics card?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, don't really know.
Plus, you're also not building an esports box. You know, you just want something that you can play reasonable games on, you know, connect to your TV and do stuff like that.
Well, I went through, like, my emails the other day and, like, put all of my codes that I'd bought through either Humble or Steam or, you know, like, beta codes we've gotten into my Steam box or into my Steam account.
Mm-hmm.
I have like 40 games that like just sitting there. Like, I've started three of them and they don't run very well on my old laptop. So, like, I haven't really played much of. I can, like, kind of play the first BioShock, and that's about all I really do with any real ability on that.
Sure.
So, I've got a little extra cash, and I was like, oh, I'm gonna start shopping. And, man, like, it feels exactly the way it used to feel, which is there's all these brands that look like they're making the exact same machine, and then you're like, is there any actual difference between the brands? And and then it looks like Dell doesn't install anything anymore on the computers, but HP still has it loaded up with crap that I don't need, and Lenovo's like somewhere in between where they just give you, like, Photo Helper XL, and I'm like, what the hell is like, I clearly do not want this software. So I don't know, might go to probably not today because it's -6, but I might go to Best Buy tomorrow and poke around just to see the boxes and then find the best price and buy it there.
For sure. Yeah. It's not like, I feel like it's also not as, you don't have to build your own computer anymore to have a good computer.
Yeah. Yeah. I think the barrier to entry is definitely a lot lower than it used to be. And now it's like, okay, you need a pretty solid graphics card, you need a decent amount of RAM, and then you're good to go, you know?
Yeah.
That's pretty much it. It's like, you know, and then those things are both easily upgraded too. So it's like, you can get a machine from, you know, from Dell or from HP, and, you know, you shouldn't have an issue tearing pieces out of it and adding new stuff if you need new stuff. So.
Yeah, exactly. And that's kind of where, and then the funny thing is that, like, the two obstacles I hit is that when I go read reviews, it's never reviewed for somebody like me. It's never reviewed like, oh, you got a bunch of Steam games you want to play? Yeah, this computer will be fine, you know?
Yeah.
It's always like, well, I didn't get 79 frames per second at 1080p on my 4K. And I'm like, this is a situation I'm never going to end up in. And I don't know what we're talking about. And, you know, like, that stuff gets a little too heady for me at times. So it's like either that or the other thing that we were talking a little bit about was, like, I'm a 35-year-old married guy. You know, I share my office with my wife. I really don't need a neon green backlit computer with, like, an alien, or not even, like, a monster face that has, like, flames painted etched on the side of the box. Like, I'm like, every one of these boxes looked like they got just designed by some, like, weird alien that was just trying to figure out what gamers want. You know, like, I don't.
Yeah.
It's so weird. that's like ground effects for your computer or something. All
I never, I've never put much stock in the appearance of the box that sits under my desk.
Yeah, like I'm just gonna, legitimately, I'm gonna try to hide it as best as I possibly can in my tiny Brooklyn apartment. You know, like that's all I really want to do. I don't need it to then stand out, like have a glowing orb coming from under my desk or something.
Ooh, an orb, that's a good idea.
Oh, it's so ridiculous, man. I looked at all of it, I was like, bleh. And then I think I'm gonna get the Steam Link, like Scott, on your recommendation, I might get that, give that a shot.
I like it, and it's $50, so the price is right.
Wait, is it only Steam? Oh, but then I could stream Windows games to the Xbox, right, if I wanted to? Or no, you can't do that yet. You can stream Xbox to Windows.
Correct. Yes.
Right.
But, like, there's some... I've seen some weird stuff about, like, the way the Steam Link works, and it's literally just doing some kind of, like, screen capturing and streaming, so...
Yeah.
I think I was
don't know that it matters that much. I think most of my stuff is through Steam. I might have some good old games, and I don't think I have any Windows
games. But I think as long as you add any application to Steam, even as an external application, you can launch it, you know. So you could just add Chrome and then launch Chrome through Steam, and then it would be streamed. I think it works that way. I'm not exactly sure, but
I got one about a month back. I don't know if I told you guys, but it works really well. I don't know if I'd ever play like an action-y game with it, at least with the bandwidth that I have.
Yeah,
but it works great for, like, I was playing Darkest Dungeon, so it works great for like strategy, stuff like that.
Yeah, I wanted to get to play strategy. I think I was playing Ronin, which is kind of like a turn-based action game. I wanted to play like Broken Age. Like just
Telltale stuff would be great.
Yeah.
Cool.
So,
exactly. Yeah. I mean, for me, it's just like I would like the option when I want to sit in my living room and just play, you know, one of my Steam games. But then also, like, I do like you've been doing, Scott, the idea that I could then do the reverse, and when Melissa wants to, you know, watch TV with her sister or something, I can come in the office and play.
For sure. Xbox, it is so stuff. Cool to, like, with, you know, I do a lot of Xbox streaming with Windows 10, so I can just sit in the bedroom with my laptop and then, you know, I have that little adapter for the Xbox One controller, and then I'm good to go. It's awesome.
Awesome. So that's me. Scott, how about you?
Cool. So let's see. I've been playing a lot of Hand of Fate, which is the current Games with Gold free game for Xbox One. And I'll talk about that in a little bit. I wanted to ask you guys if you were watching You, Me, and the Apocalypse.
No.
Didn't
that
just
start? Oh,
that's
the new one with The Office, right?
Yeah, Jenna Fischer and Megan Mullally and Rob Lowe are in it.
No, but I've heard it's really good. I have not watched
it. Yes, yes. We went into this thinking that it was going to be a, you know, half hour comedy show about the apocalypse, but it is really more like almost like a dark comedy. It's an hour long format, and it basically tells the story of all of these different characters kind of like spread throughout the world and how they eventually all end up in this bomb shelter together. And that's like where it starts. And then they kind of like back out 35 days and start telling you the story of what all these people were doing when, you know, when the world discovered that there was going to be this, you know, mass extinction event, and kind of like how everybody deals with everything. And it's not like I said, it's not laugh out loud funny all the time. The episode that we just watched had like a really, really serious moment in it. We were like, whoa, that's kind of almost super dark. But it deals with a lot of interesting things. It deals with, like religion, and like Rob Lowe is this priest, but he's kind of like a jerk, you know. And Jenna Fischer's character is in jail with Megan Mullally. Like the whole thing is just completely absurd. So it's really good. I would recommend watching it. It doesn't really seem like anything. I don't really know what you would compare it to. You know,
is
based
it
on
sort of Last Man on Earth or less comedy than that?
No, it's much less comedy. Yeah. It's almost as if they're just telling a story and parts just happen to be funny. But like I said, it's not laugh out loud funny.
Huh. That's
amazing. Check
it out. But we watched, you know, two or three episodes and we're like, this is cool. We were like hooked on it after two episodes. So
awesome.
It's really interesting. I feel like, you know, with things like Agent Carter and even like Gallivant, which I still watch because it's so ridiculous. I really like all these, you know, shorter seasons where it's like 10 to 13 episodes, and you can tell
the winter replacement stuff. Yeah,
you can tell like this really concise story in a 13 episode season, and I feel like you get more, there's like more meat on the bone when you don't have to stretch everything out over a full, you know, 24 episode season. And you know, even I even stuck with Heroes Reborn all the way through.
Ooh, did you? I didn't make it.
As bad as those episodes were sort of leading up to the end, the final episode of Heroes Reborn was actually really good.
Oh, no.
With, like, all this, like, crazy CG and everything that they did. And, you know, like, of course the story is, like, hard to hang with and the characters are not necessarily likable, but, like, the way that they kind of produced the final episode, I thought was, like, you watch the episode and go, like, where was this the rest of the time? You know?
Oh, that sucks.
Yeah, so that's too bad. So anyways, that's TV. And the last thing that I did was I played the early access trial of Unravel. Did we talk about this already?
No,
we didn't. Podcast?
No. Yeah, did you guys try Unravel at all or no?
I did not.
Yeah, so it's a shorter title. You know, everyone's familiar with the character Yarny. He's like this little dude that's made out of yarn. And it's a platforming game, but the way that he solves puzzles is that he can use yarn to, you know, swing from different latch points. He can, you know, tie knots on things to give him different advantages for climbing and moving objects, like by creating bridges with his yarn. And he also, like, as he traverses the level, he's sort of slowly unraveling himself. So you need to continuously find yarn in order to keep going. And then it takes this perspective where he's very small. So it's like Honey, I Shrunk the Kids, where other things around him are large. And it's not always clear what you need to do. So there's some puzzle solving involved in trying to figure out how to get around the various obstacles in the environment. So I think it's a pretty cool game. I don't think it's very long from what I can see. I played the first two levels, and I think there are maybe 8 to 10 levels total. The game is out now. It's really, like, it's a very beautiful looking game. And it looks like it has some kind of emotional depth to it as well, like in the story that they're telling. So it seems pretty cool. I think when I can finally tear myself away from Hand of Fate, I'm going to play that next. But I'm going to talk about Hand of Fate later on and what I like and didn't like, since I'm kind of curious to talk to everybody about it, because I know, Ash, you've played it on PC.
Yeah.
It's currently the free game on Games with Gold. I've not seen anyone else in my friends list play it, so I thought it'd be interesting to talk about.
It's a very unique sort of game.
Agreed.
So we'll get to that.
Cool. Yeah, absolutely. So, Ash, what is up?
Oh, man. Been a busy week, kind of fun week. I did a little PC stuff, too. Got a new graphics card, which Woo-hoo! I'm excited to play with. Which
That's
is
always fun.
Been playing XCOM 2, which we'll talk about in the reviews.
I'm really looking forward to hearing about this.
Yeah.
I want to know what you have to say.
I mean, it's glorious, but we'll get to that in a little bit.
Okay.
So last week was awesome. We had Hannah Tell on the show, and people seemed to like the episode. She was awesome. I actually want to have her back on, you know, sooner rather than later. So
yeah, people seem to really dig the episode, and we really appreciate that. I see there's been a lot of, like, interest in the episode, which is cool.
Yeah. So if you haven't played Life is Strange, or if you want to learn more about the character of Max, definitely check out episode 220, and you'll learn a lot.
Yeah, and we don't just talk about the game as well. So if you're kind of just curious, you know, there we touch on a lot of topics, and Hannah was a really fun and interesting person to talk to.
Yeah, good times. And other than that, just you know, doing my thing, just catching up on TV shows. Still watching the Shannara Chronicles, and
oh yeah, me too.
Yeah, it's kind of slowed down a little bit.
They just keep murdering characters.
Yeah,
like left and right. Like this, like we watched an episode where three people died.
Yeah.
Oh wow.
like major characters too. You're like, wait, what's the cast of the show going to be at the end?
And
of
I told
season?
Melissa, I was like, this is happening so fast. Like I don't even know. Like I don't. It's there. There's no emotional impact when you're murdering people that quickly.
Yeah, that's true. I don't know. I don't know what to think. But still looks pretty.
Yeah.
Can't go wrong with New Zealand, right?
No, it's a gorgeous setting.
It is. Other than that, not much. So let's just go ahead and dive into the news.
News.
I guess we'll start off with some sad, bad news. And this happens a lot of times in the game industry. It seems to come in waves. And last week, I think early in the week last week, Mad Catz announced that, first of all, a lot of their leadership left Mad Catz. So like, you know, presidents and CEOs and all those fun
executives.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. And then they revealed, I think the day after that 37% of the staff was laid off from Mad Cats, which is crazy. And a huge bummer. But, you know, all of us have been using Mad Cats stuff since we were a kid. I think, like, you know, since the original NES days, or maybe SNES days, mm-hmm. Mad Cats has been making peripherals. So it's kind of weird to see them start to unravel a little bit.
Remember when they put out, I think there were PS1 controllers, and they were like clear with neon in them?
Yeah.
Yep. Oh, yeah. Yeah, they had some interesting phases, and some of their products were just kind of like definitely appealing to that, like, you know, 9-year-old who's like, whoa, like this one's crazy. Like, yeah. So, it's kind of sad to see that Mad Cats, and one that really bummed me out is there were some layoffs at Motiga, who are still in the process of making Gigantic, which is of course the third person action title, the competitive action title that we talked about for quite some time. Actually, we played it
over 2 PAXes.
Yeah, over 2. So did we start at South?
Yeah, I think PAX South. The first PAX South was the first time that we met them.
Right,
and then I think the year that you were working, Matt and I played again. What was
at
that?
Prime, we played at South, we played at East, and then we played at Prime too.
Oh, so you guys played it again.
Yeah.
So it's great. I mean, we've been talking about the game for a long time. It is a lot of fun. It's a bummer to see people, you know, leaving that studio before the game's even released.
Their community team was super nice too.
They called it temporary layoffs.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's, you know, it just means that they didn't have the funding to pay the staff, so they're
going
to,
like, possibly bring them back on? Is that the thinking there? Or I've never heard the verbiage.
I guess if they don't find work, and then the funding does come in from wherever they're getting parties, they'll bring them back. But yeah, that's just sad and weird, and, you know,
it seems like what happened was that, you know, probably January was the end of the fiscal year for.
Yeah.
Some of these companies, and then earnings come out, and then you have to sort of unfortunately adjust to what your current situation is for the year, which is too bad.
Yeah.
Right. And you know, and we were talking about this earlier, but there's that space, the competitive class-based shooter in 2016 it's so insanely competitive. You have Overwatch coming out,
Paragon
coming out,
Battleborn
coming out. Yeah. And they're all, I mean,
in addition to what is currently, you know, available now too, right? You know,
right? Yeah, I mean, people are still playing Team Fortress, and of course, you know, Gigantic too. So, you have a lot of the really big dogs working on these, you know, competitive class-based shooters, and you know how many can you play? You know, like I love those games, but man, if they all come out at the same time, I don't know how I'm going to choose. You know?
Yeah, I mean, it's a different beast, right? Because if you're, you know, we play, you know, personally, we play a lot of shooters, right? But you can play through, you know, you can play through Gears of War, you know, and do some multiplayer and spend like a month and then move on to something else. But if you want to stick with one of these class-based shooter games, you have to kind of grow with the game and stay competitive and learn how to play. It'd be hard, I think, to switch between the games unless you're just totally leaving one for the other, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
And the thing that's really kind of tricky about this competitive class-based, you know, I guess Royal Rumble that's happening in 2016 is that now that, you know, Blizzard is in Overwatch is on the horizon, Blizzard knows how to keep a player base. That's their thing. Even like with Diablo 3 came out, there was a lot of hubbub of their store and, you know, people were really pissed about that game at launch, but they managed to bounce back and fix a lot of the problems and, you know, Diablo still has a player base, and you know there's still millions of people playing World of Warcraft, and they do updates, like, you know, all the time, and adding new content all the time. So it's like, how do you compete with a company that's so used to constantly, you know, iterating on their game and constantly improving the game?
I saw a review when I was computer shopping. One of the reviews on one of them was like, "This box plays WoW really well," and it was like, it was like from like a last year, you know, like late last year, and I was like, yeah.
I would hope so.
It should. That game is 11 years old.
Yeah, your iPhone should play WoW really well, you know?
Yeah,
that's true. Anyway, so those are some bummer layoffs. There are more, too, but, you know, we don't want to talk about all of them. But
mm-hmm.
Layoffs in the game industry, they're awful, scary.
I feel like we've been saying this stuff long enough or doing this long enough that it does start to feel sort of cyclical, like, you hit that beginning of the year lull, everybody's figuring out whether their game did well or not, and sometimes you just see this stuff, and then it seems like it starts to ramp back up again when you get to spring.
Right.
And it starts to turn around a little. So hopefully it is. Hopefully everybody landed on their feet, which is what we always say. And I do truly hope that. So
absolutely. Yeah. The folks at Motiga are really nice. They have a great team, really enthusiastic, great at what they did. So, you know, hopefully they all find what they want to do.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So this is just really quick, and this is cool if you're fans of The Flash and Supergirl. So obviously there was a Greg Berlanti is the producer on both of these shows, Flash and mm-hmm. Supergirl. But the problem, of course, is that they're on different networks. And so while Flash and Arrow share a universe and they cross over all the time, which is fucking awesome, no one ever thought there was going to be a Flash and Supergirl crossover because one is CBS and one is, of course, CW.
Right.
But something weird happened, and the fans spoke up, and Grant Gustin, who plays Flash, said he'd love to do it. And then, you know, the networks actually talked to each other and I guess ate a Cobb salad and decided that they were going to do it. So now Flash and Supergirl are actually getting a crossover episode, and it looks like Barry Allen is going to go to the world of Supergirl some way, I guess, yep. through Running Quickly. He'll show up and it's going to be awesome. They actually had some pictures from set, I think on Thursday or Friday. And it just showed them kind of hanging out in LA shooting the episode. So pretty awesome.
We're still on season one of The Flash. I really like the show. We're actually pretty far into it now, but we're still on season one, but I'm hoping I'm excited to see how they do this.
Yeah.
It could be really cool. And it's also like, DC, I think we've talked about before, always has that problem of, with the exception of Arrow, all of their superheroes are like crazy overpowered. Like they're just insanely like,
yeah,
I think we've talked about The Flash specifically on the show before, where they have to do some like some mental jumps of like, you're just going to be okay with this because, you know, don't do the math on this one kind of thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because in reality, The Flash could solve almost any problem with his speed. Like it's just like, it's sort of rule breaking, you know?
Yeah. He's already, I mean, not to spoil anything since you're only on season one, but he's already figured out how to time travel.
Yeah. Yeah.
And by season two, so he can travel through time now, and he can also dimensional travel. So
there's
like, you know, there's other Earths, and it's like, you're absolutely right. But DC,
but what's interesting about him pairing him up with Supergirl is that she's also rule breaking. Like her powers are way over cranked, and you know, all that stuff is ridiculous. So it's fun when you see, like, when you see Arrow team up with Flash, like they make it cool and they make you feel like the Arrow's a badass. But in reality, let's all be clear here. The Flash is way stronger and more powerful than Arrow. That could never be like even remotely. The Arrow should just be like, it's like when what's his name hangs out in the Avengers, you know, and you're like, why is he there? Like, doesn't Thor just like Thor God things into being fine? Like, what? Why is this even a talk right now?
Oh, like so, Falcon or something?
No, what's his name? Fucking Arrow guy. Hawkeye.
Oh, Hawkeye. Poor Hawkeye.
Yeah, you know, they made him funny in the second one. That's fine. But yeah, so it'll be interesting to see Supergirl, like two equally powered people in a show, yeah, and see who they use for the villain. And like, that could be really cool. You know, it could be really fun. And Greg, not Berlanti, but the guy from DC who's the showrunner, or not the showrunner, but the DC advisor. I can't remember his name. He wrote all the Green Lantern stuff.
I don't remember. Sorry.
I don't remember his name. But anyways, he is kind of like the Marvel or the DC equivalent of what's his name at Marvel right now?
Feige.
Yeah, running everything and just making sure like all the universes make sense. And like, I could see him doing something really cool with this. So I'm glad it came together.
Yeah, me too. It's pretty neat. You know, just to see those characters interacting and kicking some ass will be fun.
Plus, no matter how much my wife sighs when he's on screen, you just can't hate Grant Gustin.
Yeah, he's a pretty likable dude, isn't he, right? Yeah, I'm the same. You can just tell, like, my wife kind of swoons when he's like, running around. And I'm just like, yeah, but he's, like, someone I'd like to hang out with, I guess.
Yeah.
Like, damn it. same with the Arrow guy.
Steve Amell.
Yes, my wife.
He won me over when we went to his talk at Comic-Con. He really came off as just like a genuinely appreciative, awesome guy. You know, like it's easy to think that some, because like on CW, it's so like geared towards a certain demographic that like sometimes you think these guys probably kind of get lost in their own heads, if you will. You know,
yeah,
if that makes sense. So you assume that you're going to meet them and they're just kind of like, yeah, whatever. You know, like 3 million. you know, teenage girls love me and this is just the way my life is now or whatever. But Steve Amell was very like, he interacts with his audience a lot. He talks like it's actually him on Twitter and Facebook, like talking back and forth with his fans. And he's just into sports and has a kid. And he's just like, he just seems like a totally like, yeah, I landed on an awesome show and I get to do really fun work and, you know, make good money and have a bunch of awesome fans. And this is a cool life. Like, and I'm happy about it, you know, like as opposed to like, yeah, I deserve this. This is my thing, you know?
So, yeah.
No, like our buddy FPJ.
Yeah.
Oh, he's awesome. Yeah. Yeah.
Same idea. Yeah.
Exactly. Absolutely. It's really great to see when people are so down to earth. I mean, and there's probably the thing is, I think that I just had a realization, guys. I bet that the reality is a lot of, you know, famous people who've lucked into those situations worked very hard to get where they were and are probably very appreciative and relatively down to earth and, you know, nice, normal people. It's just that the people that we see, the sort of like spectacle side of it is so much louder that we just assume all of them are trash people, you know?
Like, yeah, sure.
There's probably plenty of them that just, you know, go home, have a smoothie, hang out with their family for the night and don't really lead the crazy lives that we want to like put on them. So. Right.
Well, that's the good news. Scott, tell me a little bit about this Quantum Break business. Yes. Yeah.
So I think the hype train for Quantum Break is leaving the station now.
Uh-oh.
They released, you know, Microsoft is promoting now the ability to pre-order the game, and the deal they're offering is pretty interesting for a number of reasons. So the way it goes now is that if you pre-order Quantum Break, you will get the original Alan Wake plus the DLC for the game plus the sort of add-on expansion title, which was Alan Wake's American Nightmare, which was a standalone title that continued the story of the original game. You will also get the Windows 10 version of Quantum Break along with, you know, the Xbox One version. And then they also announced that the saves for the game will be transportable between Windows 10 and Xbox One.
Oh, interesting.
So even if you are not a, you know, don't have any particular interest in this game, it's pretty interesting because of this ability to, you know, have cross-platform saves. And, you know, this could be, you know, a window into the future in which you are able to get games that exist on both platforms and, you know, have your saves transfer. How cool is it if you, I don't know, like if you travel a lot, for example, and you started playing, you know, Halo 6 on your Xbox, but then you had to go somewhere and you just had your laptop and it's like, well, just let me load up Halo 6 and I'm back in action again. You know, like that kind of stuff is just really cool and promising and interesting. And it kind of opens up this whole idea of like cross-platform play. You know, which is what they're kind of doing, I think, with Fable Legends, the 4v1 game that's being developed right now.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just a really exciting thing, and it looks like Alan Wake's American Nightmare is currently available with backwards compatibility if you already own it. And I would imagine that maybe that means that the original Alan Wake is also planned for backwards compatibility too. And I'm just excited for the game in general because I really like the developer Remedy. Of course, you guys remember they did the original two Max Payne games, which kind of opened up, you know, this whole world of time dilation mechanics in games. And Alan Wake told a really compelling story, and I think that they're just going to continue doing what they know how to do in Quantum Break, and it's going to be really fun. So
I'm excited for it. It looks gorgeous. I just my only qualm is, you know, the time manipulation has been such a popular thing in games. You know, freezing and rewinding and all that has been done quite a lot. So it's just a question of, are you going to be able to innovate on that mechanic and make it really fun?
It's interesting, you know, because they're kind of one of the ones that did it first. And now here they are many years later, and they're kind of coming back to the thing that, you know, put a game like Max Payne on the map in the first place, you know, as far as the gameplay goes, right?
Yeah, so, bullet time goodness.
Yeah, yeah, that whole bullet time thing, I think, was relatively novel at the time that game came out.
Yeah, it definitely was. I don't think anyone had really done it.
Yeah, I think
that... Other than The Matrix, of course.
Yeah. Well, there you go, yeah. So, I don't know. I'm excited, so I'm glad to see that this is happening soon. I think the game is coming out in April, so it'll be here.
Right around the corner.
Pretty darn soon. The next piece of news is, I don't think is a surprise because there was a rumor, but Ubisoft confirmed that there will be no major Assassin's Creed game in 2016.
Mm.
So they, you know, they put out this open letter saying, hey, we're going to take some time and, you know, get this right and spend more time developing the game and not try to push a yearly franchise and everything. Which, you know, ultimately, I think for Assassin's Creed fans is like, we're relieved and it's a good thing. It's also like, I've played them all, right? So it's kind of, I'm personally relieved that I don't have to schedule that in, you know, like this holiday is to just like try to play another 80 hour, stab in Collection Fest.
Yeah.
So I'm excited to take a break, you know, but that being said, it's not like there will be no Assassin's Creed in 2016 because they've already released, all three, iterations of Assassin's Creed Chronicles, which is, China, India, and Russia. Those games are all out now, the 2D sort of isometric platforming Assassin's Creed games.
Yeah.
They are releasing a mobile game this year, which I think was currently sort of in a preview period in Australia. And now the game, I think, is going to see a worldwide release. But, you know, it's going to be one of those games where it's like free to download and then you can only do so much in a certain amount of time. You spend money to get more time, stuff like that. But it looks like an Assassin's Creed game, but, you know, it's going to be most likely wrapped up in weird microtransactions, which is too bad. And then the other thing is that there actually will be an Assassin's Creed film in 2016. I think it's currently planned for
production right now.
No, they wrapped on it. Yeah.
Did they wrap it?
Yeah. So it's wrapped. I think it's planned for December 21st release, starring Michael Fassbender. So
it's crazy.
It's still weird to me.
I mean, but like how I just, it seems kind of cool. I know that they tried to do, not they, but I know that there has been a Hitman game. You know, there's always been different companies have tried to do video game films to varying degrees of success and, like, you know, awesome badness, if you will.
Right.
And I just think it's cool it's getting made. Like, I would still be willing to see it, you know, just in the same way that there were rumors of this, you know, Mass Effect movie for the longest time, and it still appears not to be happening. So I don't know. I think it'll be fun to see it. I'll watch it. Like,
yeah, I think it'll be good.
Yeah, I'll watch it.
Yeah, of course. And I mean, this seems like a, you know, the original Assassin's Creed seemed like a story in a game that would have been good for film. So I think that if they kind of, they're going to have to tell some of that origin story to an audience that's not familiar with the game, right? So I think it should be interesting.
Right.
To kind of do that, those dual timeline things and kind of show all that weird, you know, alternate reality stuff where, you know, the character might start seeing things with eagle vision. I think the whole thing is, you know, kind of interesting. So I'm happy that it's coming out this year. So that's that news. There's some Star Wars news too.
Tidbits. So, you know, Slash Film all the time does these little bits and pieces of Star Wars news just as things are happening. And of course, those guys are awesome and we love them. But the things that came out this week are pretty cool. So Episode 8 has officially already started filming. Star Wars Episode 8 is already in production. So little things that happened. Some I don't think these are spoilers, just some kind of casting news. But it looks like Scott's favorite, Tim Rose, Admiral Akbar, is definitely going to be in Episode 8 in some capacity. Yeah, because it looks like he canceled a couple of con appearances that he was going to be at because he, of course, has to be over in the UK to shoot, which is awesome.
Yeah.
And it also looks like Mike Quinn, who plays Nien Nub, is also going to be in the next one. And, of course, Peter Mayhew, who plays Chewbacca. So you're definitely going to see Nien Nub and Akbar and Chewbacca in the next Star Wars film.
Do you think we'll see Rey and Finn and Poe?
I think so.
You think so? Okay.
If you follow this kind of stuff, it also looks like John Boyega is doing fencing training because he on his social accounts, there's pictures of him in fencing gear. So it looks like he's training to be a little bit better of a sword fighter. So that might be a little bit of a little info dump.
I saw in an interview that he mentioned that sort of the level of physical fitness that he requires for the next movie is like much more than it would have been for The Force Awakens. So it seems like whatever he's going to be doing in the next film is going to be pretty crazy, physically intense.
Yeah, I mean, it does look like his injury is over. Spoilers, you know, he gets injured, but it looks like he's
well, I mean, if you can throw Luke in a Bacta tank after getting his arm chopped off, I'm pretty sure
That's true.
You know, what happened to him is small potatoes, right?
Right. And there's also some rumors of Ewan McGregor going in to do some extra work for the next Star Wars film.
Maybe perhaps some hologram action, if you will.
Perhaps, or he'll come back as a zombie.
Force ghost.
Ooh, yeah. Zombie.
Maybe he'll come back as his character from Trainspotting.
Sure. <Yeah. laughs> Or maybe from Moulin Rouge or something.
Moulin Rouge, yeah. Yeah. Or The Island.
Or A Life Less Ordinary.
Or... Damn, you got me. I couldn't keep going.
Hey, man, you can't. That's my boyfriend.
Top Scott's yeah. love for you and McGregor.
I got a total man crush on that guy.
he is a dreamy Jedi, that Ewan McGregor. But yeah, that's it. I mean, nothing too big. Just it's exciting that Episode 8's filming. Can't wait to see, of course, what happens next. It got pushed a little bit to December of next year, so no longer a summer release. It's now winter release, and I'm glad.
Yeah, that's cool. We talked about that before. Like, waiting for things is not a bad thing anymore.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, let's take a quick break and come back with some reviews.
Excellent.
Let's do it.
We're back.
Yeah.
So really quick, one of our one of the other companies that supports the show is Audible, of course. If you want to support us via Audible, you can go to audibletrial.com/ratedNA and get a free audiobook. I think if you are a new Audible customer and sign up for like a trial month, you can get a free book through there. I wanted to mention that I finished a book that you recommended, Ash, which is Dark Disciple.
Oh, cool.
Star Wars book. Yeah.
Is that a good one?
Yeah, that was really good. After reading Aftermath, which I was very disappointed with, it was nice to go to a Star Wars book that I had that, you know, I thought had some good substance. And instead of trying to, like with Aftermath, I feel like too many characters were introduced and it was hard to sort of track, at least in audio form, what was happening throughout the story.
No, I had the exact same problem. I totally agree. Yeah.
Yeah. And Dark Disciple is basically, you know, what they describe it as. It's like, it was sort of some plot ideas that were left over from the Clone Wars, which were not able to be made because the show was canceled before they could get into those plot lines. But they took those and put them in book format. And I thought the end result was really good with the story they tell and the characters and everything.
It's great in it.
Yeah. I mean, largely it's a story about Ventress, which is, I thought, really amazing. It was like a really great character study of her. And it goes into so much more depth than what you could get out of a few half-hour episodes of Clone Wars. I thought it was a really great story.
Yeah, good times.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah, so that was my really quick Audible pick. And again, if you want to support the show through Audible, that's audibletrial.com/ratedNA. And Ash, why don't you tell us about XCOM 2?
Man, so you guys know I'm a big fan of XCOM. I've been playing since I was a little kid.
Yeah, man, you're kind of like you're one of our tactical guys. Tactical
gaming
dudes.
Yeah, it's funny. My first exposure to XCOM, I think I was like 14 or 15, and I went to spend the summer with one of my friends in San Diego, and I bought an EGM or something from the store back then, and they used to come with floppies.
Yeah.
They have like the poly bag, and then you get like a floppy, and there was an XCOM UFO defense demo floppy, just a single 3.5 floppy disk, and I brought it back and on his computer, and we just sat up and played it for like just the demo,
like
one level. We played it all summer, just like constantly, just going back and forth and trying everything out, and this the level of strategy was awesome, and we just had so much fun with
those
it.
Those are the
and
then, days, of course, those
yeah,
are the
right?
days, man.
Just staying up all night eating like fucking cheese curls and
yeah, like magazines with the demo in the
yeah,
bag and all that
yeah.
stuff. That
they went a very long way when you had like no money as
yes, kid. Yeah.
So, obviously, in the original XCOM came out, it was great. Then two years ago, XCOM Enemy Unknown came out, also incredible. And now XCOM 2 is out from Firaxis. And I have nothing but good things to say about it. I'll start off with one. Well, I guess I'll start off with one bad thing to say about it. It's
sure.
currently. I can't. I have to talk about this. So one of the reasons I bought a new graphics card was to play this game, like to the best of, you know, in the nicest settings that I could.
That's usually how it works. Is that like you're yeah. a graphics card purchase is generally linked to some game that you
want
to like.
Right. I'm like, okay, I want this game to like look gorgeous. And it absolutely does look gorgeous, except for if you go on any of the like Steam forums or the Reddit or anything for XCOM 2, you'll see that there's just it's an explosion of people complaining about how the game isn't optimized. And so what that means is even though your system, you could have the best system on the planet. You could have like a Cray supercomputer with like, you know, 100 gigs of RAM and you know, whatever. The game is still going to hitch and have like some graphical issues.
Oh, that's too bad.
So that's the one bad thing is it looks gorgeous, but then every once in a while you'll just get these weird, like it's not optimized. And so things will just, the graphics will just bug out. So I think since the game's only been out for a week, some people, including myself, have been noticing these graphical issues. But beyond that, the game is a lot of fun. It's taken all of the things that I think people complained about with the last XCOM game and it improved on them. So it feels a lot more fair this time around. I know, Scott, you had some issues with like the percentages and things just not seeming right, you know. Feel like
my beef with the original game was that I feel like if I, you know, five times had an 80% chance to shoot something, I would probably hit it twice, you know?
Right. Absolutely. So I don't know what was up with the algorithm they had in place for like the percentage of the hit and stuff, but that seems to be improved. Really quickly, I guess I'll just do the quick rundown of what it is for people that don't know what the XCOM games are about. This one takes place 20 years after the last XCOM game. And mankind has sort of lost the war. So you play as a guerrilla group this time, and the aliens have actually taken over Earth. And so your job is to assemble a band of soldiers and improve on your technology and then take back the planet from the aliens sort of, you know, by any means necessary. And you do this by, you know, going on different tactical missions, either like stealing data from a data port, hacking computers, ambushing rail cars, rescuing civilians. And so there's a ton of different mission types this time around, which is really fun. And some of them are timed, like you'll have to get into a building and hack a computer within a certain number of turns.
Oh, cool.
And so you'll be like racing against this clock and you'll have to like, you know, stealthily get in there now, which is super fun. So they added a new stealth mechanic to the game, which is really, really incredible. So it's you actually start off most matches in concealment, which means the enemies don't know that you're there. And it allows you to set up ambushes, so you can actually queue up all of your characters to go into Overwatch mode, basically to attack when they see enemy movement. And then you can open up, you know, with one of your characters' moves, and then all the rest of your characters will fire. And so you can create these really awesome ambushes and take out massive groups of enemies. There's a lot more to do this time around, so there's a ton of customization. So down to, you know, armor color, different plates on the armor. You can do different hairstyles on your characters, scars, tattoos, different glasses, bandanas, just all sorts of crazy shit that you can add to your characters right off the bat, which is neat. So you can really customize your team to look the way that you want them to look. There's a new classes. So there's a sharpshooter class, which is like your sniper class. A ranger class, which is sort of your run and gun stealth class. There's a grenadier, which has like a giant cannon on his back and also has like a Gatling gun. And there's a new, like a brand new, the others are kind of hybrid classes, but the brand new class is specialist, which is your hacker. And he has
a
drone. And the drone can do a lot of support. He can he can improve cover. He can heal. He can go in and hack enemy tech. And so there's this specialist character that runs around and can, you know, do all sorts of fun hacky stuff. Which
it sounds like there are many more ways to play the game than there were before.
Yeah, there really are. And the thing that I'm noticing is, all the maps at this point are procedurally generated. So no two maps are ever the same. So, you know, you could have one map to rescue civilians and it'll look awesome. You'll land in I just did one in Louisiana or something. And the whole city was on fire and there's just burning buildings and people running around. And it's insane. And then you can get another mission to rescue civilians in another part of the United States, and it'll look entirely different.
Oh wow!
And your mission will actually play out differently based on the map too. So it's cool. There's a lot of depth to it. I say definitely if you're into these turn-based strategy games, pick it up. The game started out with mods enabled, And so the modding community is already adding a ton. I think there's over like 300 mods that have already been built for this game in a week. And some of them are adding new weapons to the game. Some are adding new classes to the game already.
That's insane.
So it's really crazy and super, super fun. So if you're into that kind of stuff, I definitely recommend XCOM 2, which is available now.
XCOM 1 is one of the games sitting in my Steam pile.
There you go.
It's good. It's really good. They're just a lot of fun.
Awesome.
I like
it. Sweet. So I just wanted to quickly talk about Hand of Fate, which is the current free Xbox One title, Games with Gold, if you're a Xbox Gold member. And the game came out on PC, what, like a few months prior to that? Something like that?
Yeah, I want to say maybe this last summer.
Yeah, yeah. So it's been out for a while, but the game just came to Xbox and then... Oh, no, it didn't just come to Xbox, did it? No, maybe it's been multi-platform for a while. Well, anyways, it's a free game. And I wasn't going to talk about it, but... I kind of realized that nobody, at least in my friends list, was playing it other than one other person. So I thought I would just talk about it very quickly since it's free. So Hand of Fate is sort of like a roguelike game that is played out as a tabletop game with cards, with different types of cards that, you know, are laid out in a dungeon format. And so you don't really know what's happening as you move throughout these different sort of areas of the dungeon, different levels of the game. And when you get into combat, the combat is like an actual real-time combat thing with like an isometric perspective. So there is some, you know, fighting and like hand-eye coordination required. So it's not like just a pure strategy game, even though you could sort of play it that way if you wanted to. There is a bunch of loot to collect in the game. There are continuous storyline threads that are carried out across your individual games. So there are encounters in the game that have tokens attached to them. And in order to collect the token for that encounter, you need to meet a specific set of criteria, which is not always clear what you need to do when you reach the encounter. And generally, when you get these tokens and complete your round, the tokens unlock new gear, different encounters. There's one storyline thread that deals with a Kraken that runs throughout the entire game, which is really interesting. The other sort of gameplay aspect is there is a chance mechanic in the game, like a semi-chance mechanic. So let's say you reach an encounter, sort of like in the style of D&D, you can pick what you want to do from a list of options, but then whether or not that thing passes or fails is based on a set of four cards, and those cards range from, you know, huge success to huge failure. The cards are sort of shown to you and shuffled up, and then you have to pick the one that you think has, you know, the success on the card. So there is sort of a chance mechanic, but I realized, which I thought was really cool about this game, is that if you can like visually track the cards as they move around, they actually are the cards that are being shuffled.
Oh, no way.
The game is not trying to... It's not completely random chance is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
So let's say the cards flip over and you spot the card that is like the success card. If that card, for example, stays on top, shuffles in towards the middle and then moves back out towards the side, you pick that card. That is actually that card.
Oh, that's awesome.
So the shuffling mechanic in the game is fair and realistic, which is something that I really appreciate in the way that the game was created. There's an endless mode in the game, and then they like a sort of a campaign mode. The campaign mode takes you through a series of 12 bosses that you need to defeat through different dungeons. They do some interesting variety in the game with what they call curses and blessings. So they're sort of like game modifiers that you can collect, but
some of those are brutal.
Yes,
really hard.
Yeah, so you have to, throughout the game, you're basically tracking three resources. You have gold, you have food, which every time you move to a different card on the board, it eats a piece of food, and then you have your hit points or your life, which eating the food restores the life, and then of course when you're damaged in combat or through different story parts of the encounters, you can lose life or gain life and so on. And so basically anything that you can imagine in this game is a blessing and or a curse. So you know, for example, there is a weird curse in the game where you lose all your food and then your character only eats gold. So
yeah.
Yeah. So it's kind of weird. So like you basically get all this gold, but then every time you move, your character starts eating your gold, which you then need to buy items and do other things in the game. So it just creates this really weird dynamic. And every level in the game that has a different boss encounter tied to it usually starts you off with a number of curses as well. So every level actually feels fairly different from the others just because of the modifiers that are attached to every level, which I think are really interesting too. So I don't know. I found that there was more to do in the game than I thought there would be. I found myself playing the game much longer than I thought I would. Just trying to unlock all of the encounters and, you know, there, I am doing some achievement hunting, but I'm kind of having fun with, you know, they're more like challenges where it's like, try to equip all these items at once. And it's like, well, how do I get them? And what storyline do I have to follow? And
yeah, there's a lot. I mean, there's a lot of different items, a lot of different cards, there's a lot of different enemies to fight. It's pretty neat. And I think the thing that really drew me to it was the art on all the cards is just absolutely gorgeous.
There's art for everything. I think even each token, every time you complete an encounter and get a token, there is different art for the tokens based on what the encounter was.
Yeah, I mean, that whoever was working on the art for that game is just, I love the card art. And what kind of bums me out, unfortunately, is the main art that they used to sell the game, like the key art for it.
Yes.
It looks kind of not great.
Yeah.
I think the art on the cards is just so much better, you know?
I kind of fell into that same trap where I saw the art for the game and I was like, oh, this kind of just looks like, I don't want to say like a throwaway title, but it's like, it kind of undersells like how much content is actually in the game.
Right.
Does that make sense? Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And maybe the thing, I probably just buried the lead of the story, which is this is also a deck building game too. So before every round, you can actually go in and set two decks. You can set the equipment that you can take into the game as far as like what comes up via random chance and what appears in shops and things like that. So as you complete more of the encounters, you get better gear, which you think can then put into your equipment deck to use like in other rounds. You can also customize to a certain extent your encounter deck as well. Some cards are sort of locked into the encounter deck based on different conditions, like if you're playing a certain level or if you're at a certain point in one of those like global story threads. But for the most part, you can actually choose sort of the types of things that you do in the game. So there is a really important strategy aspect to the game, especially when you get into the later levels where you can set up a deck in a way where it's like, okay, I want to make sure I put an encounter in here that guarantees that I'll get a weapon, right? And so you can then put the weapons in your weapon deck that you want to have so that you can kind of plan ahead, you know, with this deck building mechanic. Right,
yeah, there is definitely a lot of strategy to it. And you can also stack the deck with easier enemies and so on and so forth. So
absolutely, which is like, those are the kinds of things you want to do as you get into the harder rounds of the game. And the last thing I want to add is that all these games are played against this character called the Dealer, and the voice acting for the Dealer is really great. The actor that does the voice work is really good, but the other thing that they did was they have a lot of really situational commentary in the game. So like in the way, I don't know, like the way Bastion was, or like if you're playing Madden Football, you know, there's like audio specific commentary based on what's happening in the game. So in the same way, if you're going through a level in Hand of Fate and you run out of food, like the guy will comment on it. Or if you pick out a weapon, he'll go like, oh, is that sure? Are you sure you want to use that weapon? There's specific commentary for even specific pieces of equipment in the game where you'll pick up some armor and he'll be like, with this piece of armor, you can't be stopped, you know? So
it's really
interesting. Yeah. So that's Hand of Fate. It's free.
It's free.
On Xbox. Like, free. There's no reason not to play it. Yeah. Give it a try. So why don't we take
is it only free for a couple more days or through the month?
Oh, right. It's probably only free. By the time this comes out, it won't be free anymore. Hopefully you got it. I mean, like, honestly, if you're Games with Gold, you should be hitting the website every 2 weeks and just downloading everything to your account. Because even if you don't have an Xbox One now, or you don't have an Xbox 360 currently, you can still go to the website, add those games to your account, and if they show up in backwards compatibility, they'll show up on your Xbox One. So
I thought they said all the games of gold are they not yet?
Well, I think they said from like November onward. So now Xbox 360 Games with Gold game that they make available, probably until they stop giving 360 games away, will be backwards compatible.
Man, so. Can I also recommend you just go to your games and see what you can install? Because my list of games that I can install went from like 5 to like 30 the other day.
Yeah, it's massive now.
Yeah.
Yeah, old games with gold games are now backwards compatible too. So you'll probably have a bunch of stuff in your game list.
Yeah.
Cool. So let's take a quick break and then we'll
Let's take a
break and then we'll do our Nequado and Sounds then we'll get good. Out of here.
All right.
This is Raphael Sparge. You're listening to the Rated NA podcast at nerdappropriate.com.
All right, we are back with our question of the week. It's been a while since we've done one of these, but this week with Deadpool coming out, I was kind of curious if people were finally starting to get sick of superhero films. So I asked, are you done with superhero films or do you feel like Hollywood is just getting started? Are there any titles that you still want to see made? And we got a little bit of both. We got a little bit of a little bit of the positive, a little bit of the negative. So the first one is from AlexN7, and he says, I'm starting to feel fatigue. I'd like to see more standalone movies so I don't have to watch 6 to know the whole storyline. I don't know. How do you guys feel about that?
I think that it depends on the level of quality.
Yeah.
Like, three Captain America movies, given that this new one is good, which we'll find out, is fine with me, but Avengers is losing steam already at 2, so just depends, you know. I don't think like the Marvel ones, the storylines don't string that strongly. I guess they do a little, depends on which one, but it's weird because it reminds me of how comic books actually work, where when they do like the Civil War storyline, that actually ran across like 8 titles. It was insane. Like, if you wanted to read every word that was about Civil War, you had to have like 8 separate Marvel line subscriptions running at the same time and managed to catch all of the ones that were coming out. It was near impossible.
Right.
I don't know. I kind of feel like for me, the movies and the TV shows that are like resonate with me the most, that stick with me the most, are the ones that have fewer characters in them, you know?
Yeah.
So I don't necessarily think that I'm feeling fatigue, but you know, I have a much stronger memory of what happened in something like Daredevil or even in like the Wolverine movies that weren't very good. I remember those more than, you know, what happened in like the first Avengers movie, for example, you know.
Yeah.
I remember the first Iron Man movie
Hulk punched an alien worm out of the sky.
Yeah. I mean, like, you don't really get to spend a lot of time with the characters and getting to know things about them when it's just an ensemble cast with a lot of action. Like, those are cool to see. They're great like popcorn films, but like ultimately, you know, watching 13 episodes of Daredevil like will stick with me longer than than like an X-Men film or something.
The fact that you came away from either of the Avengers movies liking any of the characters is just a huge testament to Joss Whedon more than anything else.
Sure.
It's like the fact that you can walk away from Age of Ultron and think that Hawkeye is an engaging, funny character is like is a triumph in his in his like book. You know, it's
yeah,
that's ridiculous.
True. No, I totally agree, because they could have been total disasters. But I agree. I think what Matt said about them following the same formula as large comic book crossovers, I think that's happening. And I think once Infinity War and Defenders is over, I think we'll go back to smaller, more intimate stories for a while and then do the build up again, just like they do in comic books.
For sure. For sure. Our buddy Amanda says, any movies with female superheroes as leads, literally any of them, done with remakes of characters done already. That's true for sure.
Yeah. We're going to get a couple, right? We're getting Miss Marvel. No Black Widow yet somehow.
Nope.
So just one. Sorry, I said a couple and I meant just one. Miss Marvel. Jedi Knight Baker at ABakerN7 says X-Force, maybe a Cable solo film, a Kamala Khan Miss Marvel film, Miles Morales, Spider-Man, Squirrel Girl, I can go on and on, Spider-Gwen. Yeah, I'd be okay with those. I think X-Force would be fun. A Cable solo film would be conceptually, to anyone who read Cable and X-Force, would probably be amazing and we would really love it. To anyone who has no idea what Cable is would be like, what? Like, mm-hmm. his storyline is...
Oh, yeah, it's insane.
It's crazy. He's a time-traveling baby that was born to Scott Summers and Jean Grey, right? He was their kid. And then they sent him back or forward in time so that he wouldn't get killed because he was, like, the key to this. His story is batshit lunatic. Like, it's
was
crazy.
I actually don't remember this. Was he Jean's kid or was he Madeline Pryor's kid?
He was Jean's, I'm pretty
was
sure.
Was he Jean's? Okay.
I'm pretty sure he's Scott Summers and Jean's kid.
Okay.
And then Hope
Madeline Pryor was the clone of Jean, so
right. I mean, like,
who knows?
Don't
right?
even. Yeah. I think it would be the X Force would be cool because it was such just like actiony, not spy, but actiony, like A team kind of group, right?
Absolutely. Hmm. Yeah, and it does sound like from interviews I've been reading with Ryan Reynolds, he sounds like he does want to do an X-Force film. So,
oh man, if they did the Remender version of the X-Force, that one that I kept telling you guys to read, that would be incredible. They could. There's an Apocalypse tie in there. Ew.
Hmm.
Sure, that movie will be terrible.
Wasn't there an X-Force team with like Deadpool and Psylocke and Cable and...
So that Deadpool's been on it twice. He was in the Remender run, and then he was in it in the 90s when he was huge.
Okay.
Like, and it was, I think it was that. It was Psylocke, Deadpool, Cable. I don't remember everybody on that one. The more recent one was Psylocke, Deadpool, Wolverine. They're always really close to each other, and it's always like Cable or Wolverine or one of them's on it.
Huh. Chris Jenkins at Cloglip says, not done, meaning not done with superhero films. Still would like to see new directors' strange takes on franchises new and old. I mean, Guardians was great. Also, I'd like to see a gritty black and white animated take on Eastman and Laird's Ninja Turtles. I second the vote for Squirrel Girl. So there's a Squirrel Girl vote coming up.
I've never read Squirrel Girl, but I've heard it's very fun.
Yeah, me either.
Yeah, so Ninja Turtles was like originally very dark. Like, it was not a... fun, happy-go-lucky comic, and then the cartoon kind of was what exploded it into children's world. But
oh, good news for those who like Dark Ninja Turtles. Platinum's making a Ninja Turtles game, kind of loosely based
on you were going to reference the second movie coming out. I was like,
no,
I don't think that's the case.
No, Platinum Games is making kind of a gritty, gory Ninja Turtles game.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, so I saw some screens of it the other day. It looks awesome.
Alyssa Elizabeth says, the universe is definitely getting unmanageable. Non-nerd people I know can't keep track. Interest might be waning soon.
Yeah, I get that a lot where, like, friends of mine that know I'm into comics or movies or whatever will, like, so is Guardians related to? And they'll start, like, asking questions about how they all sort of chain together. And I could see that being just ridiculous. Like, if you only one of my friends, what did we go see? We went and saw Star Wars, and I asked them about Marvel movies, and they were like, yeah, we liked it. Was like Guardians, and I was like, oh cool. I'm like, did you see any of the others? And they're like, what are the other ones? Is it like, is that the Batman ones? And I was like, nope. Okay. Like, it was just like, it's so ridiculously large at this point from DC to Marvel that like, how do you follow? And then there's two versions of Marvel movies, you know, like, how are you supposed to know which one's which if you're not plugged into this junk at times?
Yeah, no, it's true.
Oh, sorry, guys. I need to rewind time for a second. I just looked at the Xbox Games with Gold website, and it looks like Hand of Fate is available through the end of the month.
Oh, cool. Yeah. I didn't know if it came out on the 1st or the...
It did come out on the 1st, but it says it's available through the 29th. So you actually an extra day.
They do.
It's leap year.
They do the 1st... Yeah. Oh, you're just saying an extra day. Yeah. But they do the... Every game is up for 30 days.
No, they used to do every game available for 2 weeks, like that first half of the month.
Oh, it's changed. You haven't seen it? So now when the games, if you look at it on the Xbox, they literally position them so that like one will be first and then the next one will be second. And then when 15 days goes by, that will move over. So that the one that was up for 15 days already gets another 15 days and it's like in the first position and the next move. Their game comes in.
So on the 16th is a game called Styx: Master of Shadows will be available alongside Hand of Fate. Anyways, sorry.
Justin Banks at, what is his name now? At Sir Kingsman?
Sir Kingsman.
Sir Kingsman.
Yes.
Okay, here we go. Still, that's a great movie. Still plenty of room for capes and cowls on the big screen. I want a Booster Gold and Blue Beetle buddy comedy. That would be funny.
That would be funny. Haggis McHaggis, who's at Haggis McHaggis, says, I'd like to see Hollywood put the same amount of cash behind original non-adapted movies, but would love a Batgirl movie.
Hmm.
Yeah. They got to make that money back, man. It's got to be a guarantee.
Mm-hmm. Natalie at Stumpy Nat says, starting to feel a little burnout, mostly because less stories being told, more than how many characters can we throw on screen. I'd honestly love to see more TV shows or miniseries. That way more origin stories can get told. That said, excited for Wonder Woman. I'm right there with you, Natalie. I kind of feel the same way about everything you said.
It's interesting to have Netflix now be able to take these kind of close looks at characters, you know, be able to like spend 15 hours on developing who Daredevil is kind of ridiculous.
Yeah, that was really good.
Darren Souter at Darren Souter says, nope, keep them coming, and I'd love to see a late 50s style Fantastic Four one day in the future. Fantastic Four, man, the group that just cannot get a break on the big screen.
Seriously.
Do you think that it's not, I mean, maybe there is an overload of these characters, but do you think that it's not just the overload that needs to change, but sort of like the style, you know, because right now we're in this very like sort of this dark Nolan era of making certain superhero films, like sort of the deconstructed look at the character.
Well, but are we though? Because I feel like we have you have like different takes, right? You've got like the Marvel Studios take, which is sort of like shiny, happy, action packed with the MacGuffin that everybody's chasing after. You know, like none of those movies are really dark per se. Maybe the second Captain America gets a little grittier,
right?
But it's still got a lot of levity in it. And then you've got like the X-Men, which is just like throwing a, you know, thing of gloss onto whatever character you're trying to, or characters you're trying to jam into the movie.
I feel like they tried to make that last one kind of dark.
Well, they've Days started to past. Move towards dark because I think they saw Nolan do so well with Batman, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And Superman did well, and like DC. So DC's definitely running in the like, well, we're all like, thanks, Christopher Nolan. We're just going to run with this one. there's no shiny, happy Nolan movie or DC movies. And then you've got, you know, Sony, who just can't figure out how to do a movie.
Who just can't even. All right.
That is true.
So I don't think it's all dark. I think that what he said about 50 style Fantastic Four is interesting because Marvel has completely dismantled Fantastic Four, even in the comics, and partly because of the movie issues. But it would be interesting. What makes Fantastic Four Fantastic Four is that sort of like that era of time and place. Like they were of the like 60s and 70s. The Fantastic Four made more sense then. Hmm. It'd be interesting to see like maybe a retro piece done on them.
How about like an Agent Carter movie?
Yeah. Oh yeah. Well that, yeah.
Like an LA Noir video game.
Yep.
Agent Carter. That would totally work based on the new season. It would totally make sense. Yeah. Anyways.
Who's next? I'm Carlo. Oh, he says, seeing Deadpool tomorrow, so probably not. Hollywood won't stop the money train in time for a movie featuring Cable, I say.
Mm.
Another one. Yeah. By the way, Deadpool's on track for $100 million opening weekend.
Good for
it's crazy.
It.
I think that was they broke the Thursday record, yeah?
Yeah, yeah.
Ocular Nervosa at Ocular Nervosa says, overkill and too many linked stories. I just want to watch one movie, not a dozen, to understand number 13.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah.
Ritzy at Ritzy Fox says, give me a fucking Black Widow movie.
For real.
You just got to vote Ike out of owning Marvel and you'll get one.
Yeah. Melissa K, Quad Skater, says, I'm still into them.
This is very to the point. Oh, that's me. Sorry. Karen Weeks at Karen Weeks. Hey, Karen says, love them and very much wanting Black Widow and Captain Marvel / Ms. Marvel.
Yeah.
Our I didn't make that up, right? They announced a Ms. Marvel, right?
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah.
Cool. Denise Kwan at Denise Kwan. I'm mostly tired of all the Spider-Man Batman remakes, and I'm completely done with Superman.
Yeah, Superman's looking a little rough. Engineerista says, I fully encourage them to keep doing so. Deadpool movie is just another reason to keep going with a heart. So apparently it's good.
Yeah, I'm going this weekend.
I'm going tomorrow. It's my Valentine's Day. Yeah. Going for Deadpool Valentine's.
You're taking your wife to Deadpool for Valentine's Day.
I asked 2 weeks ago. I said, this is what I want to do. She said, fine.
Would you tolerate like X amount of bad superhero movies just to get like one good one, like a Deadpool? Something like that, maybe?
Yeah, I think we already do.
Yeah, it's like, the trade-off.
Yeah, you know. We already deal with like, we go see them anyways, and then we get, you know, Dark Knight. Like, it's like, that's just how it works. It's okay. Yeah,
true.
That's true.
True. That's-
Well, thank you guys for tuning in to episode 221 of the Rated NA podcast.
Thank you
for participating in the Naquato this week. It was fun to get your answers. You guys replied in mass, so thank you for that. As always, you can find us on Twitter, and that's at NerdAppropriate. You can go to our Facebook page, which is /NerdAppropriate. Subscribe, rate us on iTunes. It would be awesome if you did so. If you rate us on iTunes, I'll send you a digital high five. So that's about all I got. What? So please send us your screenshots of you rating us on iTunes, because that's what we want.
It's getting a little pleady.
Yeah, please do that. And we'll be back next week with all new stuff.
Yeah.
Thank you for listening.
Thanks guys.
No, I meant like high level details.
Oh.
Not low level details.
It did come off like you wanted more details.
No. Definitely not.
I can provide.
No, it's not necessary.